12, green, 1, 9, red, 12.
What's happening? Oh, yeah, that's true. lights, camera, action. Welcome to the Month of Movies podcast for the May of May.
May of 2019. That guy, you kind of had it.
I did. I just had the wrong order.
No, you could have said
the May of
20, May of 2019.
For the May. Okay, well...
The May of 2019. That makes sense if you didn't enunciate weird.
Yeah. I'm Scott.
And I'm Jason.
And this
we're watching
year,
movies.
Yeah, this year we're watching some of the funniest movies, a list of funny movies we've never seen before.
Or haven't seen in a very long time.
Yeah.
And then we got this weird thing that we're doing. We'll have that at the end of the podcast, where we guess what a movie's about and then watch it. And then we talk about anything else we saw.
All the movies.
All the movies of May that we saw. So the first movie from that list that we watched this month was A League of Their Own.
Yes. I remember watching this as a kid and being like, it's a good movie, but like only because I didn't understand what good movies were at the time. Boy, was I wrong. Women playing baseball.
There's no crying in baseball.
No. So the movie, it starts off with it's many years later, and then like in the main character.
I always hate those when they do. They start and they go, oh, this is, we're going to introduce the movie and then go back and the whole movie's the past. But they did a decent job
of
this one.
I hate that when they do that when it starts like an action point. It's like
Mission Impossible 2.
48 hours earlier. It's like, whoa, what happened?
They're tied in chairs and then they're like, oh, we're going to shoot somebody. And then it's like. Da, da, da,
yeah.
2 months earlier.
Now, how did we get to this predicament? This is at least like her going to a memorial thing, a celebration thing.
Yeah,
like,
they have the Hall of Fame that they're inducted into the Hall of Fame or something.
So it's like her going, oh, I remember those days. It's not like, well, because at that point, if I watch a movie, went, an old lady, boy, they really pulled me in to see how this got here.
you got me, this old lady. It's supposed to be about baseball, but we got this old lady saying, I miss the glory days.
And holy shit, does she look like Gina Davis?
I know. Remember how I said
terrifying.
That? It was freaky because I thought maybe they just did makeup on her, but nope. Just they had some old lady who looked like Gina Davis, and then they voiced over her.
Yeah.
So it sounded like Gina Davis, and it looked like Gina Davis, but it wasn't.
But the movie is about Gina Davis's character and a bunch of other characters.
It's Gina Davis's character and her sister, her little sister, who plays softball.
Yeah, they play softball just for funsies. But then it's World War II times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, "Well, we need more. We need some more of that like American spirit." I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, because they have to basically they're going to cancel baseball because all the players got drafted into the war, and they said, "Hey, we should still have baseball." But we'll have women play baseball because all the guys are gone. And so they're going to try something different. So it's a league of four teams.
It's not four teams.
Yeah.
Was it four teams?
It was only four.
I thought it was 16 teams, four divisions.
Oh, I thought it was four teams.
I could
be wrong.
That was four teams. Like this one takes place in like the Midwest. Like
yeah, because Racine is one of them.
Yeah, Racine and then like Chicago and stuff and... but I'm pretty sure, I thought it was like...
Maybe it was. I'm like, that doesn't seem like that many teams. You'd be playing the same teams over and over and over.
Yeah.
But anyway, they form a league of women baseball players, and they try to draw crowds, because why not?
But then everyone's all like, this is the 40s? I don't know what time works. But they're like, yeah, no, women can't play baseball. It's crazy. And then they start, like, kicking ass. You're like, whoa, women can play baseball. And then they start, like, doing all sorts of things. But I guess the main plot of it is, like, them obviously trying to play baseball. But then there's always a feud between the main Gina Davis and her sister, I think, Kit.
Yeah.
Because Gina Davis is always, the best one at the game and stuff. And her sister's always trying hard and... trying to be better than her and stuff, and so they have kind of a family thing going on. But no, it was good. Tom Hanks was one of my more favorite Tom Hanks. My favorite Tom Hanks roles are when his character just doesn't give a shit.
Oh.
Yeah, he pees.
So I was reading some behind-the-scenes stuff. Ouch, that's my foot. I was watching some behind-the-scenes stuff, and who's the director of this?
Oh, boy.
It's not Patty Jenkins.
No.
As I said that, and I'm like, nope.
I could open IMDb like a normal person, but I'm looking at, like, Google instead of... but, yeah, she...
But anyway, like, the the scene where Tom Hanks is peeing...
Yeah.
She was in the stall pouring water into a toilet, so... Like, when she stopped and started, he had no idea when it was going to happen. So just, like, pouring it and then, like, stop. And then, a little more.
Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall. Yeah, so she was in the stall pouring water into the toilet. And so it was like, Tom Hanks didn't even know. God damn it, Karen. Tom Hanks didn't even know when he was going to stop peeing. So that was kind of funny.
But, yeah, it was good. It was,
It was. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good.
I'm not a
sports person.
Baseball. Yeah, I'm not a baseball or sports person. But it was funny. Cause I was watching the movie and I was like, "Oh, maybe I'm wrong." I was like, "My guy looks like Tay Leone." All of a sudden, she disappears. I'm like, "Oh, she must have been an extra." And then later, she shows up again, but she's basically Racine 1B. Yeah, I was trying to find what cities and stuff there were, but. Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
I gave it a 7.
I liked it better.
Yeah, you did.
John Lovitz is funny.
John Lovitz, yeah.
Apparently he was in the movie a lot more in the original cut.
Well,
they had to cut a bunch out.
Which is weird, though, because this movie is 2 hours and 8 minutes, which doesn't seem like a lot nowadays, but in 1992, you're like, whoa, who can watch a movie that long?
Right.
Unless it's like Braveheart or something.
It's just long enough to fit on one VHS tape.
Yeah.
Then the next movie we watched was not as old. It's from 2015 called Spy.
Okay.
Melissa McCarthy, Jason Statham. This is Jason Statham's brother.
Then there was a Rose Byrne and Jude Law. Damn, I was trying to script their names. Rose Law and Jude Byrne.
I don't know who Rose Law is.
Rose Byrne, she was in Bridesmaids. She was the bride in Bridesmaids. She was Dr. Moira MacTaggert in the X-Men First Class movies.
Sorry, I was thinking of the other lady. I don't know who that is.
Melissa McCarthy?
No, the one that was helping Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, Miranda Hart?
She's yeah.
The tall British one?
She's the funny one.
She's
the funny one, Scott.
Before I start... saying the things I don't like about this show. Let me say that, oh, wow, she had her whole... This girl, Miranda Hart, had a TV show on the BBC for 6 years.
Yeah, she's
called Miranda.
She's a very famous British person.
Apparently. Okay, so... The movie is about this spy played by Jude Law who's supposed to go in and get this, like, nuclear missile or whatever, and he accidentally kills the man in charge... of it. So he's like, oh, we gotta find this missile, and we gotta go all these leads, because we basically had the guy, and then he accidentally shot him. And Melissa McCarthy's character is someone that works at the CIA.
Who's the person in her ear.
With the cameras and stuff like that, like, basically saying, oh, we got people coming to the left, and do this, and stuff like that. But then, after Jude Law's character gets killed, she's like, oh, they know all our agents, they're leaking all this information. And she's like, no one knows who I am, I can go do the mission. And they're like, whoa, but you're not used to this. And then they send her off to do the mission, and she's good at doing her work, which is, I think, part of the problem I had with this movie.
Well, that's the reason, because she went through all the training that everyone else did.
Yeah.
So she's trained, but she's behind the scenes.
No, that's fine. But if it's a comedy movie...
She should be terrible. She should be Mr. Bean.
Kind of. Not like... Like, her character was legit efficient. Like, she could literally do the job. She could just fight.
Didn't have the charisma.
Yeah. She could fight. She could do all this. She even did have enough charisma when she was starting to get, like, found out.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
like, all right, shut the fuck up. I'm here to do this. And you're like, oh, she's a legit agent. So where's the comedy come in this aspect? Because it's not a fish out of water. Just she was too worried about doing it, and then she's doing it. And I feel like that wasn't enough character. I don't know, like, the character development or any sort of, like, weirdness that she's like, I can do this. And you're like, yeah, she can. That's the movie. Like, I don't know. It felt
too
easy.
It was... It felt like an action film more than a comedy.
Yeah, she wasn't in over her head, which, if she was, then I feel like that would have fallen more in the comedy aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she broke the rules of what she was supposed to do, and she still, like, was doing a good job. Which I feel like, that's fine, but, like, I just feel weird that it's a comedy movie when, she's not making a fool of herself. Which, not saying that the actors do, but, like, they have to, like, the main actor of a comedy movie doesn't have to make a fool of himself.
Oh, Jason Statham, sorry.
But, I don't know.
Because I'm looking at Bing with the spy results. It's like, people looked up this movie, also looked up these. I'm like, why is the Meg on here? Oh, Jason Statham. So the other ones make sense, like Bridesmaids and stuff. But Jason Statham, I thought, was one of the funniest characters.
He was the one reason I laughed in that movie.
Yeah, he was the funniest person in the movie, I thought. And who thought he could be funny?
It's a nice suit. I fucking made it, didn't I? You don't know that. How do we know that?
Yeah, just his delivery on the lines, he was hilarious. Which is sad, because I feel like he could have been funnier in Meg then.
Yeah. There was one gag that did make me laugh a lot, because she stole someone's, commandeered someone's, like, moped, and as soon as she got on it, it just tipped over, which made me laugh, because things falling over is funny.
Yeah, I thought the funniest part, because she hasn't been in the field and stuff like that, so when she shot and killed somebody, she could handle it and just vomited on the dead body.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny. We have weird humor.
What? I think it's falling over, vomiting.
Just random vomiting.
I'm not always a body fluid.
No, but sometimes humor. Just unexpected vomiting is funny.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh my god, oh my god. Hmm. Yeah, I gave it a 7.5. I thought it was decent.
I think I gave it a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, a 6 because
I enjoyed watching it. It felt like another Mission Impossible with slight humor.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
If you're going in expecting to be laughing the whole time, it's probably not going to work.
Yeah. I don't know, I feel like I was like...
I laughed more at League of Your Own than I did Spy, for sure.
Like, I don't want to say this in the wrong way. I'm not a huge Melissa McCarthy fan, only because of the things I've seen her in.
I blame her husband.
She is...
Her husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul Feig. Because she was hilarious on SNL.
I was gonna say, like, she has a lot of, like, really good moments of, like, comedy. Like, she's, but then it, like, when she's,
to me, the funniest stuff she has is non-Paul Feig stuff.
Yeah,
in my eyes. But I'm sure I can be disproven.
Yeah, no.
But
like the few things I've seen here and there, like movies that star her, I'm like,
because her breakout role was Bridesmaids, and I remember, like, when people were first talking about her, I'm like,
pooped in the street.
I'm like, why is she the funniest one in this movie?
Yeah.
I didn't understand how she was a breakout. But, like...
Even though she was on, like, 8 seasons of Gilmore Girls.
Like, Identity Thief, she was pretty funny in that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she can... Like, Saturday Night Live was her best.
Yeah.
That I've seen.
Well, like, just because... Like, she commits to doing what she's doing, and she's one of those people that is funny. And then once someone starts breaking, she will push that to the limit. And that,
some of the best stuff is the deleted scenes, because she's cracking people up.
Yeah. No, she's like...
What was it?
She's very funny, but the things that she's
this
in...
This is 40? Okay. I think she was in that.
I have no idea.
But during the credits, they basically just showed her scenes over... She wasn't even a main character in the movie. Mm-hmm. She had, like, one scene. But they kept showing the bloopers from that one scene during the credits, because she kept making people laugh. Because she's so serious as she's saying the things, but what she's saying...
She's like Phil Hartman to me, where she's funny, but I don't feel like people utilize her the way they should.
Right. I agree with that.
At least in the movies that I've seen. I know people like her a lot and stuff.
I think it was This Is 40. Whatever,
but yeah.
This Is 40 outtakes, yeah. Because she's a parent at the school.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's a... Like, a fight or something. I don't remember. I've seen it so long. But, like, so the two parents are in the principal's office, and she's just going off. It's pretty funny. Yeah, so I gave that a 7.5. The next movie was another baseball movie.
Watched
Major League.
I watched it, too.
This was funnier than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it had its moments.
It wasn't like... I don't know, the comedy I got out of it was just... I don't think there were jokes. I think it was just the way... I can't remember anything that I laughed at, but I remember laughing.
The voodoo guy, I liked his character a lot. And then I realized later that's the president from 24.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, he's the Allstate guy.
Oh, that's the Allstate guy.
Yeah. I was like, oh, like his character was funny. And then like stuff like that. There's silly funny moments, but overall as a movie, I wasn't like, this is a funny movie, but also I'm not a baseball guy. I watched two sports movies, but then again, I guess it is baseball season now, right?
Yeah, that's what I kind of did. So Major League, in case you've never seen the movie, the Cleveland Indians are
auto-filled Steamers?
Cleveland Steamers? The Cleveland Indians are the worst team in the MLB. And the owner of the franchise dies, so his wife takes over. And she says, if they come in dead last, we're going to move the Cleveland Indians to a different city so we can build a brand new stadium and all this stuff. So she says, in order to do that, we have to be the last team, like, rated worst in the entire MLB, the worst season. So she puts a roster together of all these has-beens or people from out of the major leagues to fill the team, hoping that they fail horribly. And the team basically finds this out and says, oh, we can prove her wrong. So then they just basically become amazing and kick ass and just to prove her wrong.
I was just looking up at IMDb, and apparently there's a third one.
Oh, really?
Scott Bakula. but it's because it's Major League 2, and then Major League Back to the Minors.
Oh, yeah, that might have been a direct-to-DVD one.
But I was going to say, the other person that was really, really funny in this movie was it Denzel Washington? No, Wesley Snipes.
Wesley Snipes.
Gosh, racist. Wesley Snipes, Willie Mays Hayes. Like, he just drives up, like, right up to the stadium. I'm here to play. Like, you can't park here.
You can't park in the parking lot. No, the funniest thing about it is he showed up, but he wasn't even on the roster. He's just like, I'm on this team now. And they're like, okay. Because he's the best player, because he wasn't on the roster of worst players. He just showed up. Yeah, he was a funny character.
Yeah, his character was great. And then, oh yeah, and then the janitor from Scrubs, like just like being an extra.
In the bar, yeah.
Yeah, in the stadium and stuff.
This was a better movie than I thought it was. It was, I said, I'm not a big sports person, but.
I was expecting more because I guess I was remembering the second
I don't remember anything except Charlie Sheen's crazy hair and him throwing.
The Wild Thing.
Yeah, throwing balls into the Wild Thing.
Yeah. But, because it's a lot of the same actors in the second one. Like, almost all the same actors.
Because the first one did well, let's make a sequel.
Okay, not almost all the same actors. Like, the first couple of them, Charlie Sheen.
Like, the main ones.
Yeah, Tom Berenger, whatever. But I remember, I could have swore that I remember it being, what's his name? One of the Quaids, the weird one.
Randy Quaid.
I thought he was in it. Like, just remember him being in the audience. And
I did like that they had Bob Uecker as the announcer.
He's in the second one, too.
And he wasn't even, like, playing himself. He was just playing a different announcer.
Yeah.
And he wanted them to win, too, because he hated her.
God, I'm just looking at the back to the minors. Oh, boy. 4.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Yeah, 21% on Rotten Tomatoes.
But two of the same guys and... Cool thing, guys. The villain from Justified. Anyways. But yeah. I don't know what else to say about this movie.
Yeah.
You gave it a good description. It's a baseball movie.
Yeah, I gave it a 7.5.
It was over before I realized it, only because I guess I expected more. Because
baseball seasons are forever.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, we got 110 more games to play. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. Last game, like, oh, we're at the plot point now. We're at the climax of the movie already. Oh, yeah. Okay.
They just cut through those freaking however many games are in a season.
Yeah. But, I gave it, it was fine. I gave it a 6. I probably would never watch it again. But I didn't hate it.
Okay, so then the last comedy movie we watched for the month of May, well, that's on the list anyway, was Blazing Saddles.
I don't know why people love Mel Brooks so much. I don't know.
I can't answer that. I don't get it either. I feel like most of Mel Brooks' stuff seems like really forced comedy.
Yeah.
Like, just like, here's a joke that you should laugh at. And it just shoves it in your face. And you're like, ah, that's funny. But is it?
I mean, I know a lot of people in Comedy City.
There's a lot of people who have different types of humor.
Yeah, because I know Gary is a huge Mel Brooks fan.
I'm the awkward humor type person.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it's funny because it's really awkward.
I like fun wordplay humor.
Yeah, I appreciate a good wordplay.
Yeah.
Like, a good wordplay. Like, your play. There's some really good wordplay in that.
Yeah. But anyways, the plot. I feel like the plot almost kind of matches with Major League. Because
it's about a guy who becomes a sheriff that's black.
Well, they put him in there because, well, there's this guy who wants to, there's this railroad that's going to go through this area, and the guy's like, whoa, that area's going to be worth a lot of money. I want to buy that town so I can be a rich person, but there's already people in that town. So let's send this, because this is back in the late 1800s, mm-hmm. Let's send this black guy in to be the sheriff, because then the town will fall apart immediately, then he can buy the town from everyone, and then once the railroad goes through, they'll be super rich. The N-word is dropped
way too many times.
So many times.
Way too many times.
Wait, I mean, I understand the point of being in with the times that it's representing, but then also the fucking bullshit Mel Brooks type ending where he goes, I don't know how to end the movie, let's just do this. Then you go, oh. So that's the basis of the plot, but the sheriff dude is actually doing a good job. That was probably one of my favorite, like, that main sheriff dude.
The sheriff dude was
probably the best part of the movie.
He was.
Because he was like, when he walks in town, they're like, oh, who's it?
And they he just starts yelling at himself.
Everyone's pulling a gun on him, like, oh, who's this guy? And he, like, pulls a gun on himself. Don't let him shoot me, the sheriff. And they're like, oh, everyone back up. And then he just wanders off, like, all right, fuck it.
Yeah. I don't know. I have never seen this movie before.
No.
And I don't plan on watching it again.
No.
I don't know if I needed to see it.
Of all the Mel Brooks movies... Oh, God.
I've only seen two.
You've seen way more than two Mel Brooks movies.
Probably. I probably don't know what they are. Spaceballs?
Spaceballs. Men in Tights. History of the World Part 1.
I haven't seen that.
You haven't? I watched that movie. It's good to be the king.
I haven't seen that. Yeah.
Bad. This one, I already lost track of.
That's four.
No, oh, that's,
Mel Brooks. Let's see.
Young Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah, I did see that one. That one was pretty good.
Yeah. But I don't understand why he has to have a character every single movie that, like, has a weird way of talking.
Because then he can do his characters.
You know, I don't know. Although the funniest part to me was when the guy in the gallows.
Oh, yeah, producers. I haven't watched it. It's on the stack over there, though.
The guy in the gallows, the hangman, was mm-hmm. hanging all those people, and then he was hanging the horse.
I saw that scene, and I'm like, Scott's going
to
like
that. That was funny to me. That was the funniest part to me. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Mel Brooks' humor is just... I always remember people talking about the farting scene in it, and I was expecting it to be a little more... actual like scene than just like suddenly here they are farting. All right, now let's go somewhere else. I don't know. I was reading like a little bit of.
Oh yeah, Dracula Dead and Loving It.
Oh, I was reading like a little bit to like lead up to the farting scene where everyone's farting around the campfire, which is like it's dinner time. Fart, 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 fart. I don't know. In my mind, it's playing up this way. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I've seen parts of Men in Tights, but I haven't seen the whole movie. So yeah, I looked at his list and yeah, this is I haven't seen too many.
Well, anything else about Blazing Saddles?
I gave it a 5.
Me too. Hey.
Hey, one in the middle.
Yay.
Okay, time for the other movies.
Which I get to listen.
This is where Scott gets to listen. I get to talk about 6 movies in a row.
I didn't watch a lot of movies this month.
You've been rewatching Lost.
I've been watching Lost. And is my because my girlfriend never saw it, and we're enjoying the show.
Okay, so we were watching comedy movies, and someone recommended that I watch this funny movie that I bought because I wanted to see it. I'm like, you know what? Since we're doing comedy movies, now's a good time to watch it. And that's Popstar, Never Stopping.
And I have it upstairs. I'll watch it when I have time.
Yeah. So basically, oh my God.
Andy Samberg.
Lonely Island, as people know Andy Samberg, but he was in a comedy group called Lonely Island. This is like one of those mockumentary type movies where Andy Samberg plays this guy Connor, who was part of a boy band that broke up so he could do his solo act type thing. Style Boys, that's it. The boy band is called Style Boys, and they had a disagreement because Connor was getting too much of the attention and all this, and he's like, I'm gonna do my own thing, and he's gonna release his solo album, and you go through the process of him being by himself and trying to do his solo album, and you realize that he sucks by himself. And the DJ is still there, so he's got one of the Style Boys still working with him, but he has no creative control. And the other guy goes up north and like lives in a cabin in the woods or on a farm or something like that, and yeah, it's a farm. He like lives on a ranch and a farm, and he's just like, I gave up on him. So as the movie's going, Connor's like, I'm the best person ever, and they release a video and it's the worst rated, and he's like going through reviews, he goes, oh, here's a good review, and he starts reading it and it's from The Onion. But as the movie goes, he starts realizing that he isn't as good without the other two guys, and it's kind of like a band getting back together kind of thing.
Jesus.
But if you know The Lonely Island, they do a lot of parody type, not parody, but spoofs,
homages.
Yeah, so they take music that's popular and like they copy the style, not like a parody, but they do the style of it, a popular stuff, but it's obviously for humor.
Yeah.
Because they're on a boat and stuff like that that Lonely Island's known for. So they did, you know, a boy band songs, and they're terribly awesome. The Connor for Real stuff is pretty bad, but it's kind of entertaining. I went into this one with kind of high expectations because the last movie they did was Hot Rod, which is a pretty damn funny movie. This one I didn't think was nearly as funny, mainly because they're bigger actors and stuff now. So they have a lot of cameos of famous people in this.
Yeah, I was looking at it on IMDb. I'm like, holy shit, everyone is in this movie.
So it felt like some of the humor wasn't, I don't know how to explain it. It wasn't as indie humor as Hot Rod was. This is more like bizarre. Mainstream. Yeah. Like, the movie was happening, I felt it was very
cookie cutter.
Yeah, cookie cutter. Like, you know exactly what was going to happen, what was going to happen next, and stuff like that. There were funny characters and funny scenes and stuff like that. But overall, as a whole, I don't think it was nearly as funny. But there were funny scenes and stuff, so I can't knock it down because of that. And the bonus features on the Blu-ray, holy crap, there's a lot. They have basically a music video for every song, even ones that didn't make the movie. They have all these deleted scenes. There's a deleted scene where he does a freestyle rap, but he has it written down. But he's like, don't tell anybody I have this written down. So then he's like, freestyle rap, but he's just reading a piece of paper. So it has its moments. It's a more mainstream.
Like, I'm just looking at, like, the cast and... Like, CMZ must be, like, a TMZ type thing.
Yeah, because...
The four CMZ reporters, it's Will Arnett,
Yeah, Chelsea Will Arnett Peretti, is the guy in charge of the CMZ,
which is Chelsea Peretti, Mike Birbiglia, and Eric Andre.
Well, they're all, like, yelling stuff and laughing and pointing and stuff like they do on TMZ.
Uh-huh.
And Will Arnett just keeps drinking out of a cup, and he's just, like, you just hear... like, ah, just drinking out of the straw and stuff, and they're... yeah, because what's his name? That the one guy.
You're gonna have to be a little more specific. Mario Lopez.
No.
I like how Pink is playing someone.
She's playing herself, isn't she?
She's Alicia Moore.
Oh,
unless that's her real name.
Maybe
was born Alicia Beth Moore. Okay, so she's playing herself, but not going as
Pink. He's because he does his first single as Connor for Real. Is a duet, was a song that Pink is featured on it.
Okay.
So he's like singing. It's like a homosexual song about being gay, and then he just goes, I'm not gay, like constantly throughout the whole song. But yeah, I thought it was entertaining. It was worth watching.
Imogen Poots is in it.
I gave it an 8, so it was good.
She kills giants.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least I think she's the older sister of the Killing Giants.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this movie.
Yeah, it keeps going and going, and it's like all these people playing themselves, and
I feel like Tim Meadows just like has a role of playing the managers and stuff.
There was a person that I saw, and it's like I don't remember what the character, but it just says lame ass dude was his character he played. That's funny.
Yeah, and some of these people. I didn't realize they were real people because I don't know popular music nowadays.
Yeah.
So when they had like some of these singers and stuff, I'm like, oh, these are real?
The guy from Arcade Fire.
Well, that one I knew.
Oh.
But what was it? Was it ASAP Rocky?
RZA.
Zippy? Oh, that's Bill Hader.
T.I.
I know T.I. because he did that one song with them.
Seal?
Seal plays himself. I know who Seal is. But the wolves? Oh my god, that scene was kind of funny. Yeah, there's like a scene where he wants to propose because he figures it's a good publicity stunt.
Uh-huh.
So he gets Seal to sing during the proposal. And she loves wolves, so they let wolves out and stuff. But the wolves hate Seal's singing. So they break free and start killing everybody. And then Seal, like, helps him get into the helicopter and get away and stuff. And they're like, what about you? He goes, I know how to deal with wolves. Where do you think I got these scars?
Jesus.
He's just like, oh, God.
And I thought, because I saw Paul Scheer plays Wolf Handler.
Yeah, because
I thought that was his name.
No, because he's handling the wolves that go after Seal.
Like, I was like, Wolf Blitzer, like, Wolf Handler. Like, that sounds like makes sense.
So, yeah, it was pretty funny. I gave it an 8. The next movie I watched was Into the Dark series.
Into the Dark.
Where they have a horror movie every month. And this one was for Mother's Day. And it's called All That We Destroy.
Yay!
Yay, Mother's Day. I'm going to kind of give stuff away a little bit. But it's not that much of a giveaway because it's like the first so many minutes of the movie.
Close my ears.
So this guy is obsessed with this girl. And he ends up killing her. And then you realize that this is a clone of the girl. And the mom is cloning this one girl over and over to try to see if her memory comes back and like try to get her on the right path. But also to try to get her son to stop killing people because he's like a serial killer. So she's cloning this girl over and over to try to stop her son from killing people. But the kind of twist is that this cloning technology is what she's supposed to be working on. So her bosses are like, how is this cloning stuff working? Oh, I still got a lot of stuff to do and stuff. But obviously it's working. There's a girl that lives that's next door, and he's interested in her. And the mom's like, no, don't. You're not. You shouldn't go see that girl. He's like, but I want to. So, you follow. It jumps around a bit in time. But the basic premise is that the mom is cloning this girl, and he ends up killing her over and over. They keep cloning. But she's trying to help her kid because she's a mom and she loves her son and knows that he's not just a monster. He can be better. And that kind of thing. I thought it was pretty interesting, especially it was very stylistic. And the introduction of outside elements that aren't supposed to be there made it a little interesting. I gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
Another movie I haven't seen in a very long time, and because I watched it in college, and even then, I don't think I was fully paying attention to it, or didn't have my brain smarts.
Pinocchio.
Was Alien.
Oh, it's so good.
The original Alien movie. It is very, very good. If you have not seen Alien, it's a spaceship that does mining expeditions. So they fly, they go mine these resources and stuff and come back home. And on the route home, they find a vessel that's in danger or trouble or whatever.
A distress beacon.
Distress beacon. And in their contract, if they find any of these, they have to go and help, even though a bunch of them don't want to, because what are we going to do?
I mean, yeah, we're just mining.
We just do this job for money. We're not here to help people. They're like, well, you have to. So they get to this ship, and it's got aliens on it. Just the one alien? No, there's eggs everywhere, though.
Which one is this
alien? This is the first one.
Okay, yeah.
This is the first alien. So one guy gets attacked and gets the monster out of his chest and stuff like that. That's the basic premise of the movie.
Yeah.
So then they're trying to figure out how to get this alien off their ship. And I don't know. I don't know what it is about this movie. It's freaking beautiful. So
fucking good.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah,
I got the quadrilogy because I've only seen the first one and then the Alien Predator movies.
I've seen the first two. I
shouldn't say Alien Predator movies. I only saw the first Alien Predator, and I saw Prometheus and this one. These are the only ones I've seen. So I'm going to go through and watch the other ones at some point.
I haven't seen the new Alien, and I haven't seen
The Covenant.
I saw part of 3, but the thing is, our friends Joey and Kenny...
Yeah, they had the quadrilogy.
In college... Like, Joe or Kenny was drunk and he bought the quadrilogy. And back when it was expensive,
yeah, it was like 80 bucks.
They'd give like 20 on Blu-ray,
yeah,
or whatever. But, he bought it. And when they were like, we're gonna watch these, you know, we're gonna have a marathon. And we started like at 7 at night, maybe 5 at 6 at night, whatever. Either way, and then but the thing is, we watched Aliens, the director's cut, which is like 3 hours long.
Yeah, when I watched the first one, I had the choice to watch the original theatrical version or the remastered version, director's cut. Because the first one, I think, came out in 78 or 79.
Yeah.
The remastered director's cut came out in 2005.
Uh-huh.
But I watched the original cut because I'm like, I want to watch the original one because this is how you're supposed to see it. Maybe at some point I'll watch the director's cut, but...
But yeah, but we started watching them, and it was like, by the time we like got to the third one, it was after midnight, and we're like, fuck, we'll pick this up where we left off. So I started watching part of it, but I didn't get very far into it because the second one, it's good, but it's not the same
movie. No, I heard it's a completely different genre.
It is. The first one's a horror. The second is like an action.
Yeah, it's very creepy.
Yeah, it's a horror in space. Like, fuck when people say, ooh, Dark Horizon. Was it Event Horizon? Fuck that movie. Alien is where it's at. That's the ultimate horror in space.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Event Horizon, they went through hell.
Yeah, I saw the
literal
movie.
Hell.
I saw it.
I gave that one a 9. Did you say, were you looking because you watched it?
I only saw the AVP movies.
Okay. I gave Alien a 9. The next movie I watched was Brightburn.
Oh!
If you haven't heard of this movie, imagine Smallville or Man of Steel or something like that, Superman, as a horror movie?
Yeah.
So basically, the premise is this kid, well, as a baby that came down in a spaceship. The parents adopted him and raised him as their own kid. Once he turned 12, weird shit started happening. And he found out that, because he's like trying to cut the grass, so he's like priming the lawnmower and he can't get it started, so he's pulling the cord and then just boom, whips the whole lawnmower through the air like probably a quarter of a mile.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's not right. So then he, like little things start happening, and he hurts a kid at school because they're picking on him, and
probably deserved it.
And then eventually the mom's like, we got to tell him. So she tells him that, hey, you're something special. You're from, you know, you're not from here. We raised you, all this stuff. And he gets pissed because they've been lying to him his entire life and kids are picking on him and all this stuff. So he does what I would assume an angry 12-year-old would do.
If he had powers.
If he had superpowers like this. There's a lot of death. It's pretty violent and gruesome. There's a death scene where someone's jaw literally comes off their face and is hanging there. And stuff like that. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was an interesting take on the origin of Superman, but dark.
Uh-huh.
And when you're watching it, you're like, this seems kind of realistic. Like, this is what a kid his age, like, you can't assume that all kids are going to be like perfect little angels, especially when you find out you're stronger than your parents.
Yeah. And
then you're really going to push the limits. It's scary because it seems like, yeah, this is what would happen. There was like one little thing I didn't care for, but I wrapped my head around it a little bit. I'm not going to say it because it's the end of the movie. But I don't know, there's some things that some of the characters did.
Doomsday.
That you're like, I don't think the character would act that way. But they might. You never know, because you're never going to see someone in this situation, I hope, ever. I gave it an 8.5.
Okay.
I thought it was really good. It definitely had aspects. And he's a kid, like, this whole movie. So it's not like we jump and he's, like, an adult doing this stuff. He's a kid. So that's why I say it's kind of like Smallville, but it also feels like Man of Steel because it's dark. Yeah, apparently, there was like this meme online that someone's like, Man of Steel is too dark. James Gunn says, hold my beer. And then in the opposite direction, I went and saw Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
You went and saw it?
I went and saw it on HBO.
Oh.
This is definitely a kid's movie. If you haven't seen the trailer for it, it's basically the Teen Titans are kind of like the sidekicks and kid versions of the superheroes. And with all these superhero movies coming out, they think they deserve a movie. So then for the most of the movie is them trying to get a movie. They find out why they don't. And it's definitely aimed for kids because some of the jokes are like obviously kid type jokes, but there is a lot of references to people who read DC comics. I was laughing because they had a premiere of Batman's new movie. So like all the superheroes and stuff were invited to the premiere, but the Teen Titans weren't on the guest list. And they're like, oh, the Challengers of the Unknown are invited? Who even knows who they are? They're supposed to be unknown. I'm like, that was freaking funny. Because they're supposed to be unknown. They have, like, references like that. And, I don't know, Plastic Man. Like, there's, like, the red carpet walk. People are like, oh, who are you wearing? I'm wearing Plastic Man.
Oh, the cast in this is crazy.
Yeah. Will Arnett plays Slade.
Yeah.
And then, Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell is,
plays,
something Wade.
Yeah. I can't remember her name.
Jade Wilson, sorry.
Yeah.
But then, like, Michael Bolton plays Tiger.
The thing I found funny is Nicolas Cage as Superman because of the whole, like, Superman movie he was supposed to do.
Yeah. Halsey is Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
She's a singer.
But I was just like, oh, Nick Cage is Superman. That's freaking amazing.
Jim Kimmel's Batman.
So there's, like, a lot of jokes about, oh, everyone gets a movie except us. And there's some songs in it that were kind of humorous.
Lil Yachty is Green Lantern.
I don't know what that means.
He's a rapper.
Oh. It should be Nathan Fillion, because he's, like, the voice of Green Lantern in every animated movie.
Oh, yeah, I thought he was a rapper. I don't know. He's in the soundtrack. Yeah.
I thought it was humorous. I laughed a couple times. It's obviously more of a kid's movie than an adult movie. But there were some really funny jokes, like the Stan Lee cameo and things like that. I gave it a 7.5.
Okay.
I thought it was worth watching and definitely entertaining. And the last movie I watched that wasn't on our list of things, I watched The Book of Eli. Because it was like, oh, it's on HBO, but it's going away soon, so if you want to watch it, you better watch it.
Like a decade ago.
I know.
It's about a...
Denzel Washington. This is like a post-apocalyptic movie, which I know Scott is not a huge fan of.
Yeah.
But his name is Eli, and he is on a mission to deliver a book to a certain location. And along the way, other people want this book.
And, people love books.
Yeah, because it's a world that's moved on. There's not much left. So they're like, oh, there's not many books out there. And this book is more special than any other book. So we want it. So everyone's fighting over this book. And he's just trying to safely bring it to his destination.
Of course. Tom Waits would be in a movie like this.
Yeah, he would. So Denzel Washington plays this guy who's delivering the book, comes across Mila Kunitz, who is kind of his sidekick through this, and Gary Oldman's the evil guy who's trying to steal the book from Eli, and, I don't know, it was a very entertaining movie. I knew the kind of twist.
Yeah, and I almost said it.
Yeah, I knew the twist, but it didn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because if you pay enough attention, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But the real twist pays off at the end when you find out about the book.
And it's friendship.
And the book is friendship. No, it's pretty obvious what the book is.
Cookbook. It's a cookbook.
It's the joy of cooking.
The joy of cooking.
I thought it was very good. I don't know. It had a good look and feel to the movie. It doesn't feel like a lot happened in the movie.
Yeah.
But it didn't slow it down. I thought it was good. I gave it an 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I was happy when I got done with it. Even though I knew the twist, and even knowing the twist going into the movie, it didn't ruin it. I just, like, figured stuff out faster. Because I'm like, I couldn't remember, because there's two things I heard about this movie. And I'm like, was it this movie? And, like, I was trying to figure out the two things, and one of them wasn't true.
He's good at fighting.
Yeah, he is good at fighting. but, so I was like, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking of a different movie. So I just ignored the thing I thought about this movie, which apparently was true.
You think of The Road.
I did see The Road.
I did, too.
So yeah, I gave that an 8. And then the last movie we watched, Scott watched it too.
We watched it.
Last month we picked a movie, looked at the cover and said, in this movie, blah, blah, blah happens, which we'll play right here.
I don't know. Night Watch.
I think it takes place over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it's the same guy.
And it's the light and darkness fighting this age long war of the Night Watch, which is not a Game of Thrones reference I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Because I think...
He is the Night Watchman to make sure people don't get killed by crows.
And that's what we thought the movie was about.
Right, and then we watched it.
And we were pretty much right.
because
I want you to explain what happened, because after I got done with the movie, I'm like, what just happened?
The problem,
there's like a lot of stuff going on in this movie.
They tried too hard.
I just want to point out the special effects and stuff were really good.
For 2004, yeah, it was pretty,
like,
or 2006.
I thought the look and feel of the movie was really well done. I just don't know what I watched.
Also, it did still have that really cheesy, campy feel, like that the fucking cleaner guys that, like, bro, with a big van that shot fire out the tailpipe and was, like, going fast, and, like, and they kept playing that do-do-do-do-do-do-do music.
Okay, so the movie...
Scott, describe it. Okay, you're talking about a truck. I'll do it.
Well, you gotta give a synopsis of the movie. The movie is this guy... Was it, like, he's fighting over custody for his daughter or something? What am I talking about?
I don't know. No, what happens is, of course, at the very beginning, like, many, many, many years ago, the Warriors of Light and the Warriors of Darkness fought, and then they came to a truce, and they said, hey, we have to be all equal and shit, don't fuck with anybody. And they go, okay, we'll be equal, we won't break the truce and attack anyone from any other side. And then somehow, someone put a curse on someone, and like, oh, someone put a curse on someone, and it caused this woman from ancient times of prophecy to show up, that if she touched things, and she's like basically the sort of like maiden of death, like, she like touch dogs and they'll die, and they'll do this, and like bad things happen, like she's just a bad omen type thing. This guy, they're trying to track down, because there's some sort of like curse that happened. They're trying to track down who put it on who. And meanwhile, there's a child who is an other that was born. Like, where did this fucking kid come from?
Well, because the main guy finds out he's an other and didn't know that.
Yeah. So then the child, like, obviously the forces of darkness and the forces of light are trying to get the child so that they can persuade them to be on their side. But then there's like a truce breaking.
Yeah, so apparently the dark side and the right side, these others, they're like...
They're shapeshifters, but the dark ones chose to be the shape of vampires.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, if you're an other, you apparently have a choice on which side you want to go to?
Yeah. But also, like, you don't? After a certain point? I don't know. It was very convoluted, and a lot of...
Because it felt like I was watching a movie. I'm like, okay, this is making sense. And all of a sudden, part two happened, and I'm like, this is a different movie. And then part three happened. I'm like, what is happening?
I wasn't sure what... Like, where the climax happened, and then another climax. I'm like, how many climaxes does this movie have? How many storylines are happening right now?
It felt like three to me.
Yeah, because the guy, at the very beginning, he goes in looking for someone, and he gets attacked by this ghost person that kept turning invisible. You can see his reflection in the mirrors, which that was kind of cool, because he just appeared there, and it actually didn't look shitty. But then he fought back and killed the dude, and like, whoa, someone killed another from darkness. So the girlfriend of that guy was like trying to track him down and stuff, and yeah.
Oh, they actually control daytime and nighttime.
Oh, okay.
According to IMDb.
The scene where the airplane hit a bunch of birds and then it knocked out a screw of the airplane, and then you follow the screw falling through the air,
yeah,
hitting numerous birds on the way down, landing on a roof, going down a drainage thing, and then having the birds peck at it till it falls through the thing, and then it goes all the way down to the ventilation and lands in a woman's cup of coffee, was the most pointless 2 minutes I've ever seen in that movie.
But it was entertaining to watch.
It kind of was, but like, why? Why did this happen? It's like hitting birds on the way down. Like, I'm like, is this going to cause anything?
If the movie didn't look and feel cool, because I have no idea what I watched.
Yeah.
But it looked cool. That's the only reason why I gave it as high of a score as I did. But I gave it a 4, which isn't good.
I'm pulling mine up right now. I must close it on accident. I gave it a 5. So I thought it was as good as Blazing Saddles.
I thought it was worse than Blazing Saddles.
Oh, God,
Saddles.
I do, too. I changed it to 4.5. Oh, God. I'm like, yeah.
If I had to choose.
If I got done watching the movie and I'm like, I don't know what I just watched, that's not a good score.
I came down and I was like, what am I doing? Because you had to watch it already. I came down like, what am I doing? I meant this part.
Okay.
So yeah, that was Night Watch. Fucking, who wants it?
So, Night Watch was the worst movie I watched this month.
Ditto. 4.5.
The best movie I watched this month was the original Alien movie with a 9.
Best one I watched was A League of Their Own with a 7.
Okay. So pick a number 1 through 5.
3.
So we're going to review this movie.
What the fuck is this?
It's called 2 Days.
Is that Paul Rudd?
It's Paul Rudd and Donald Logue.
Okay.
Mackenzie Austin and Joshua Leonard. I don't know who they are.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like he's pointing a camera at a guy. And it says, the movie's called 2 Days. Film is a dying art.
Okay. Oh, boy. This is a bad Photoshop cover.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
This is another one of those $1 movies I bought at that going out of business sale.
Film is a dying art. 2 Days.
2 Days.
Yeah, camera's pointing at Paul Rudd, and he looks sad. Donald Logue is...
It kind of looks like a gun, too, but that could just be the camera.
I think it's just the camera. But then it's... Oh,
it's called 2 Days, and then on the time code, there's 2 seconds.
Okay.
It's recording.
Fuck, man. I don't know if this is really funny. It's like all...
I don't think it's supposed to be.
Blue and black, like in white.
It looks like it's supposed to be... A dark movie.
This is Paul Rudd going, I'm going to get my drama chops going.
Yeah.
All right. 2 Days. Film is a dying art. So it's something about dying. When I first saw this from a distance, the 2 Days, it says, I thought it was one of those beep monitors at a hospital. And then I saw things up here. So.
Yeah, this is, apparently it's a film within a film because there's a record.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Film is a dying art. It's called 2 Days. Holy shit. I'm lost. I have nothing in my mind.
So I think that they are...
I feel like Donald Logue is always like he's either like a good guy in every role. He's like a typecast. So I think he's kind of like a shifty guy. I think he is like Paul Rudd's shifty friend who like gets him into trouble somehow.
I'm going to go on a limb and say that they have 2 days to make a movie. Otherwise, the theater they love closes.
Oh, okay.
But when they start making this movie, bad things happen and people die.
Okay.
Because it looks dark.
Yeah.
It looks like it shouldn't be a happy movie. But it says film is a dying art. That's why I say I think it's about a theater that's going under. So they got to make a movie that people will come and see. But they only have 2 days.
All right. My theory on the movie, and I'll make it quick, is that Donald Logue...
Sorry, mine was too long.
No. I think Paul Rudd's character and Donald Logue's character, they're shooting a film, they're filmmakers, but then they witness a crime being committed, like someone gets murdered. And they have, like... And they basically give... I don't know what 2 days is, like maybe like they're on the run... Or like trying to hide from them because, within 2 days, something happens. Like they can be saved, or whatever. Or they're gonna release it within 2 days, give it to the police. I'm not sure what 2 days is.
It came out 2004, 2003. It's rated R. All right. So there's definitely death.
That's my theory.
All right. You want to plug your email and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Put it in my email holes.
Oh, yeah. If you guys are listening to this, the segment where we synopsis a movie we haven't seen, we don't have a name for it yet.
Mystery Movie Make-em-ups. I think that I don't even know that's the same thing I say every time.
But that's what he's calling it. But yeah. Someone's going to come up with a clever name. Yeah, I just have a feeling.
I believe
feeling.
In you all.
And if you come up with the name we pick, we started stacking a bunch of these movies up to give to... the winner.
You can watch the Night Watch movie. You can watch Drop Dead Sexy, maybe. I don't remember if you said you didn't want that one or not.
I think I might keep that one.
Okay,
but
then Dead Flies, Drawing Flies.
Oh, boy. And then whatever one you had last time.
Yeah.
The Heirloom.
Oh, yeah. That one wasn't that great. But yeah, email me Stuff by Scott.
Yeah, these are great movies you want to win.
But you'll get them for free.
Yeah.
And then you can sell them to your used local place for $2 total. for all of them.
I doubt it. I bet you're going to get like a quarter.
Well, get their hopes up. Stuff by Scott.
Like, well, you're not taking this. We have too many. We'll give you 5 cents.
Or they go,
you pay us 25 cents to take these off.
Or they go, someone bought this movie. People have been asking about this. We'll give you $10. It's so rare. No one ever bought that movie.
Yeah, they only made 100 copies.
But yeah, stuffbyscott@gmail.com. And also give your opinions on movies, things you want to recommend. Anything else?
Well, something that you want us to watch.
Yeah, tell us what to watch.
And since we're doing the funniest movies, tell us a funny movie that we should watch that hasn't been on our list yet that you're like, how have you not seen this?
Or tell us a funny story.
Because that's where I got...
Popstar.
Yeah, Popstar and Mad World.
Yeah, it's a good one. It was on the list, but I took it off.
But you saw it.
I had already seen it on the podcast.
But Mike Esserkan told me I should watch
it, so I did. It's a great movie.
And Brian Houston told me to watch Popstar.
Popstar, can't stop, won't stop, never stop stopping.
Because everyone has a different sense of humor, and we're finding that out by watching this list that Scott created.
I'm waiting for a movie for me to go, holy shit, this is so funny, how have I not seen this before?
That's what Mad World was for me.
Yeah, nothing really hit that vein.
That's the closest I've come, is that movie. It's one of the funniest. I mean, so far, Major League and League of Their Own for this month, like, those were good movies.
Yeah, but I kind of already...
But they're also, like... There's a difference between a good movie and a comedy movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it was funny, but I wouldn't call... Like, it was a good movie with comedy in it.
Yeah,
it
wasn't
a comedy movie.
Yeah.
I mean, Major League, maybe... I don't know. League of Their Own is more of a good movie than a comedy in it.
I think the biggest surprise for me so far has been, like, The Jerk, because I never saw it. And I was like, that has weird moments, but I thought it was very entertaining. But anyways, that is May for 2019 until next month...
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.